Chapter 22. October 6th. The Empress stirred and turned over in bed. She had a memory. The night before, she had told herself that by morning her mind would be made up. As she came out of sleep, she realized the uncertainty was still there. She opened her eyes, already embittered against the day. She sat up, composing the tension in her face. And as she did so, half a dozen maids who had been hovering behind a soundproofed screen dashed forward. An energy drink was tendered. Sunlight adjustments were made. The great bedroom brightened for another morning. Massage, shower, facial, hair. And again, as the routine proceeded, she thought, I have got to get action or the attack will end in a personal humiliation. Surely after 4 months they cannot keep on delaying. As soon as she had her dress on, she began to receive palace officials. First, Garrett, the chief of palace administration. He had a problem, many of them, and, as usual, annoying ones. That was partially her own fault. Long ago, she had insisted that all punishment of the palace staff be referred to her. Today, the predominant motif was insolence. Servants defying their superiors and shirking their work. The offense was becoming common.
For heaven's sake, Inelda said irritably, if they don't like the limitations of their positions, why don't they quit? Palace-trained servants can always obtain positions, if only for what they are believed to know about my private life.
Why doesn't your majesty let me handle these personal matters? Said Garrett. It was his stock remark, stolidly made. She knew that eventually he would wear her down, but not to his own benefit. No stubborn old conservative was going to have full control of the huge staff of palace servitors. A heritage from the Regency period, he and all his kind were going to be asked to vacate. She sighed and dismissed him, and was back with her problem. What to do? Should she order attacks wherever possible, or wait in the hope that new information would turn up? The trouble was that she had been waiting now for so many weeks. General Dukar came in. A tall, thin man with slate-gray eyes. He saluted with an angular motion and said, Madam, the building reappeared for 2 hours and 40 minutes last night, only 1 minute from the estimated time. Inelda nodded. That was routine now. The pattern of reappearance had been established within a week of the first disappearance. She still insisted on being kept informed of the building's movements, just why she couldn't decide. I'm like a child, she thought self-critically. I can't let anything get out of my control. The analysis darkened her mood. She made a few sharp remarks about the efficiency of the military scientists under his command, then asked the question. The general shook his head. Madam, he said, an attack is out of the question at the moment. We have a power machine dominating the weapon shops in every large city on this planet. But during the past 2.5 months, 11,000 officers have deserted. The power machines are manned by guards who do not know how to operate them. The woman flashed.
The hypnotic machine could teach them en masse in 1 hour.
Yes. The hard voice did not change. The thin lips became a little thinner. That was all. Your Majesty, if we are prepared to hand such information over to common soldiers, that is your privilege. You have but to command, and I will obey. Inelda bit her lip, vexed. This grim old man had her there. It was annoying to have come out at last with a thought that she had restrained so often in the past. She said defensively,
It seems that the so-called common soldiers are more loyal than my commissioned officers and braver.
He shrugged. You allow these tax creatures of yours the privilege of selling commissions, he said. You do generally get educated people that way, but you surely don't expect a man who has paid 10,000 credits for a captaincy to take the chance of getting himself killed. The argument began to weary her. She had heard it all before in different words. The same old meanings reinforced by the same dramatizations, though it was some weeks now since the problem of commissions in the armed forces had been mentioned. The subject was not a pleasant one. It reminded her now of something she had almost forgotten.
The last time we talked of this, she said slowly, I requested you to contact Colonel Medlin. And ask him whatever became of that officer he was about to commission when I called him one day. It isn't often that I make personal contacts with lower ranks.
Suddenly she became savage.
I'm hedged in here by a brigade of old men who don't know how to mobilize an army. She fought down her anger. But never mind that. What about him?
General Dukar said stonily, Colonel Medlin informs me that the young officer Prospect did not return at the appointed hour. The colonel assumes that he must have got wind of what was up and hastily changed his mind. There was silence. She found herself thinking that the explanation sounded wrong. He wasn't like that, and besides, the Empress personally had talked to him. She did not underestimate the power of such personal contact. People who met the Empress of Isher felt not only her personal charm, but experienced the abnormal aura of her position. The combination was overpowering, not to be lightly dismissed on the word of a suspected wino. She spoke at last with a quiet determination.
General, inform the colonel today that he will either produce this young officer or face a Lambeth in the morning.
The gaunt man bowed, but there was a cynical smile on his face. Madam, he said, if it gives you pleasure to destroy corruption, one individual at a time, you have a lifelong task ahead of you. She didn't like that. There was a brutality in the remark that reached deep into her. She drew back.
I've got to start somewhere.
She made a gesture, half threat, half frustration. She said querulously,
I don't understand you anymore, General. When I was younger, you used to agree that something ought to be done.
Not by you. He shook his head. The Imperial family must sanction, not personally direct, a moral house cleaning. He shrugged. As a matter of fact, I have more or less come around to the weapon shop idea that this is an age where people take to corruption whenever their adventurous instincts are denied normal expression. The green Imperial eyes flashed.
I am not interested in weapon shop philosophy.
She was abruptly astounded that he should have mentioned the weapon shops in such a fashion. She flung the accusation at him. The grand old man was immune. Madam, he said, when I stop examining the ideas and philosophies of a power that has now existed for 3,700 years, you may have my resignation. The woman rejected the argument. Everywhere she turned was the semi-worship of the weapon shops. More, it was an acceptance of the shops as a legitimate facet of Isher civilization.
I must get rid of these old men, she thought, not for the first time. They treat me as a child and will always treat me that way.
Aloud, she said icily,
General, I am not interested in hearing the moral teachings of an organization that at base is responsible for all the immorality in the solar system. We live in an age where productive capacity is so great that no one need ever starve. Crime because of economic need does not exist. The problem of psychiatric crime can be solved whenever we get hold of the afflicted person. But what is the situation?
She was hot now with remembered rage.
We discover that our psychopath has been sold a weapon shop gun. The owner of a house of illusion is similarly protected. True, in that case, there is an understanding between the police and the houses whereby raids are allowed. But if any individual owner should decide to resist, we would have to bring a 30,000-cycle cannon to defeat him.
She paused to survey the job done by her hairdresser, felt satisfied, waved the woman away.
Ridiculous and criminal, she continued. On every side, we are frustrated in our desire to end this eternal wickedness of millions of individuals who sneer at the law because they have weapon shop guns. It would be different if these gun makers would limit the sale of their products to respectable people. But when any sort of scoundrel can buy one...
A defensive gun, interjected the general softly. Defensive only.
Exactly, said Inelda. A man can commit any crime, then defend himself against justice. Oh,
furiously,
why do I even talk to you? General, I'm telling you, we have the weapon that can destroy these weapon shops once and for all. You don't have to kill the members, but get the army organized to destroy the shops. Get it organized, I say, for an attack within 3 days, a week.
She looked at him.
How long, General?
He pleaded. Give me until the new year, madam. I swear that the confusion which was caused by the desertions had temporarily ruined us. She had forgotten the deserters for the moment.
You have captured some of these officers?
He hesitated. Some, yes.
I want one available for questioning this morning.
General Dukar bowed.
As for the rest, said Inelda, keep the military police after them, As soon as this mess is over, I'll set up special court-martial, and we'll teach these traitors the meaning of their oaths of allegiance.
Suppose, said Dukar, and his voice was soft again, they have weapon shop guns. Her reaction to that was so violent that she grew calm in her anger.
My friend, she said gravely, when army discipline can be set at naught by an underground organization, then even the generals must realize it is time to destroy the subversion.
She made a motion with her right arm, a gesture of decisiveness.
This afternoon, General, I shall visit the laboratories of Olympian Field. I want to see what progress has been made in finding out just what the weapon makers did to that building.
Tomorrow morning, at least, Colonel Medlin must procure for me the young man he was supposed to have commissioned. If he cannot do it, one corrupt head will roll. You may think I'm being childish concerning myself with one individual, but I must start somewhere. And that young man I know about, him I can check on. But now, she said, you weapon shop admirer, get out of here before I do something drastic.
Madam, protested Dukar mildly, I am loyal to the House of Isher.
I am glad to hear it, said Inelda scathingly.
She brushed past him and went out into the hallway without looking back.